thank you for your wonderful sharing, as we all have every day here with you and Lewis. Lewis and Lynn, at least an hour every single day. And I was thinking how fortunate we all are that Holy Spirit guided Lewis here so that Lynn and Lewis can actually provide us this incredible spontaneous, that's a key word here this morning, spontaneous, loving, trusting way of just sharing with each other. Good morning, good morning. And we are here for another Sunday morning at Awakening Together Sanctuary. And today's topic will be trust or plan to fail. I want to thank Christina right here in the room who volunteered to be my reader, and she'll be reading from Lesson 135, paragraphs 11 through 18, which are the six paragraphs about a healed mind does not plan, and then finally, what could you not accept if you knew that everything was planned for you? Yep. So we look forward to a wonderful Sunday morning. Right now, it's time to say hello and send your love and light and blessings to all that are gathered, and we're sending our light and love and blessings to all that are listening here on the radio. If you're listening in, whether you're from anywhere around the world, I know that Suzanne is listening over in Munich. Hi, Suzanne. Blessings always. Right now, we're going to turn this mic over to our music director, Lynn Johnson, for a little music while we take the next few minutes to share our blessings of love and light. Okay, Lynn, this mic is all yours.
Everywhere I go, everything I do, you see, and I'm with you. Everywhere I go, everything I do, you see, and I'm with you. Don't need your kiss to make me glow like the sunshine in a field of snow. Don't need a day to get close to you, 'cause you are with me always. Everywhere I go, everything I do, you're with me and I'm with you. Everywhere I go, everything I do, you're with me and I'm with you. Don't need your touch to feel you near me. Don't need to look at you to see your love that runs inside of me like a never-flowing stream. Everywhere I go, everything I do, you're with me and I'm with you. Everywhere I go, everything I do, and you. You are the last light of my night time. You are the first light of my day. You are the moon and the wind and the sunshine. You are everything I see. Everywhere I go, everything I do, you see and I know. Everywhere I go, everything I do, you're with me and I'm with you.
All right. Thank you so much for that.
Drop the mic, Dove. Dove, you dropped the mic. I don't know if you can see this or hear this, but please pick the mic up.
All right, thanks, Lynn. I was just thanking Bob DeWater for being our admin and also for posting all the links. Right now we look at the purpose of Awakening Together and our and one of our five core values. And the purpose, as I'm reading, is so powerful. It just needs to just be listened to and sat with. Thank you so much, Barb. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. Wow. Equals joined in common purpose. Awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And that truth, as we're going to find out later today, is a irresistible force that nothing can block. Nothing gets in the way of this irresistible truth. Thank you so much, Regina, for having that as our purpose. And the core value of the five core values I chose is core value number one, which is we trust, and there's that word trust, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is the realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. Wow. Yeah, and I'm so happy the word trust is there because, yeah, we don't really know what all the paths are. We don't know really anything. We only think we do. But trust is the only way to allow the truth to correct all the errors of our mind. Trust allows the truth to correct all the errors of my mind. Nothing else I can ever do allows the truth to correct all the errors of my mind. Thanks, Barb, for putting that up. Okay, we have a few announcements. Let me take a look at what our announcements are for today. First of all, happy to announce that tonight is another satsang with Regina Dawn Akers, and her guest is the same as last month's guest, but there was a little to do with the technical thing on Pal Talk. But Tony Samara, author of The Simplicity of Love Meditation, is back tonight, and he and Regina will discuss embracing the creative moment of this now. Wow. Embracing, you have to really trust for embracing the creative moment of this now. No, nothing planned for sure. Just a present love. A holy instant. Transcending the inner saboteur. That sounds interesting. Transcending the inner saboteur. Learning to let the heart make choices for us. Wow, that's trust. Learning to let the heart make choices for us. The connection between the brain and choices. Well, that's a good one. Realizing who I am. That's always wonderful. And the keys to meditation. This is a continuation of last month's satsang, as Regina says, and it goes deeper. Please join us at 8 p.m. tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, for this enlightening conversation. Okay, and we're going to announce that the registration is currently open for the introduction to NTI. We all know NTI is the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament as scribed by Regina Dawn Akers. This is a 6-week class taught beginning of the first week of August. The class covers the book of Luke, Acts, Galatians, and Revelation as interpreted by the Holy Spirit through Regina Dawn Akers. And I always remember what Regina says. She says, NTI starts in the book of Luke. So that's exactly where she's starting. And that's powerful, you know. Let's start where NTI Starts, the Book of Luke. This course was written by Regina. Jacqueline Eckert will be the class facilitator. There's two class times to choose from, Tuesday evening, 7:30 to 9 Eastern, beginning August 4th, and Wednesday mornings, gives you another choice for those people who can't make Tuesday evenings, Wednesday morning from 10 to 12 noon Eastern, beginning August 5th. Registration for this class closes July 28th, so that gives you, a week, a little more than a week to sign up. For more information, see the classes menu on the Awakening Together website, and I'm reading this right now, so I trust that Bob DeWater has the link for the Awakening Together website up there. And as we've been saying for weeks, maybe months, but it's true right now as it was then, please do take a look if you want to be at the Course in Miracles conference in Las Vegas. They just announced who all the teachers are going to be, the presenters. Of course, Regina will be there representing Awakening Together. I'll be there as well, co-presenting with Veronica Gabrielle. Most of you know she's here twice a week, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The conference is April 8th, 9th, and 10th at a sumptuous, luxurious hotel called the Rio Hotel and Casino. It's a mile from the Strip. It's away from all things, and it's really built to have wonderful conferences like this. My brother, who lives in Vegas, says 8,000 people attend one session there at the Rio. So imagine, we're only expecting 700, because only 700 could eat together at one time. That's the maximum for our thing. Right now, 350 people already signed up, so please do, if you want to sign up. We will have a brand new list of presenters that probably were not presenting before. We're going to have Mary Perrone from A Course of Love, Greg Mackey from A Circle of Atonement, James Twyman, who everybody knows James Twyman, ACIM Revival, sings every day a new lesson, new song for a new lesson, and John Mark Hammer from The Way of Mastery. John Mark Hammer, who has never really attended a Course in Miracles conference, he'll be there, JM. So please join us. And when you go there to sign up, please sign that you heard about this from Awakening Together. That's under Regina Dawn Akers. And then Awakening Together gets the credit. And certainly that's a good way of donating money to Awakening Together and also getting a ticket. Right now, I think tickets are $499. They will be going up in months ahead to around $650. So this is a good time to get a ticket now. While you're at our website, you can check our other upcoming events, including Regina's going to be in Ireland at the end of August, and the big event of the year, the Awakening Together Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs in late October and early November. So there's two events that Regina's going to, one is she's attending an event sponsored by a group in Ireland. So if you're over in Europe, you may take a look at that, or maybe you want to travel to Ireland. No better time to travel to Ireland than the end of August. And of course, we do have our Awakening Together Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs, late October and early November. And I'm sure that Bob DeWater is putting up the link for that. Okay, I think that completes announcements. And okay, thank you so much, Bob. And let's see, just about that time for me to introduce Christina, who needs no introduction. She's here every Saturday night as a guest presenter at 6 p.m. And I asked on Friday who would like to be a reader. She says, I will. And we spoke last night on the phone. I said, today's topic, which is trust or plan to fail, really looks at all the reasons why a healed mind does not plan. And only by trusting can we actually hear the truth, because as long as you need to plan, you're planning and defending your own small little self's weakness. And that just keeps us weak and in a defensive mode and really never saying, I want to know the truth. I mean, the last unanswered question that the Course talks about is, am I willing to see what I denied because it is the truth? And as long as I am denying the truth, well, I got to plan, because if I don't plan, who's going to do it for me? I got to take care of myself, right? I'm here all alone, right? No. None of that is true. But as long as my mind thinks I have to plan, the ego is doing my planning for me. Because the truth is that there's only one plan. That's God's plan for salvation. And a healed mind trusts that all is perfect exactly as it is. Let all things be exactly as they are. I need do nothing. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Christine, and she's going to be reading from paragraphs 11 through 18. Most of you know 18 really well. That's the one that we mention here all the time. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen is gently planned for you? But very few of us know paragraphs 11 through 17. And when I said to Christina, how about reading those six paragraphs, she says, okay. And then she said, can I read paragraph 18 too? I said, okay. So as spontaneous as all that is, and Christina, I'm going to turn this mic over to you. Thank you so much, Christina. This mic is all yours.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina. Thank you, Dove. Always love your sharing and everyone. And welcome to everyone. And I will read from lesson 135. If I defend myself, I am attacked. Good morning, Lynn. Love your sharing too, honey. So, paragraph 11. 11 through 18. A healed mind does not plan. A healed mind does not plan. A healed mind does not plan. It carries out the plans that it receives through listening to wisdom that is not its own. It waits until it has been taught what should be done, and then proceeds to do it. It does not depend upon itself for anything, except its adequacy to fulfill the plans assigned to it. It is secure in certainty that obstacles cannot impede its progress to accomplishment of any goal that serves the greater plan established for the good of everyone. So for me, this is listening in the stillness, in the listening to my Father, to the Holy Spirit, and His will is the only will there is. There is no other will but God. Is relieved of the belief that it must plan. although it cannot know the outcome which is best, the means by which it is achieved, nor how to recognize the problem that the plan is made to solve. It must misuse the body in its plans until it recognizes this is so. But when it has accepted this as true, then it is healed and lets the body go. Woo! I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. 13. Enslavement of the body to the plans that unhealed mind sets up to save itself must make the body sick. It is not free to be the means of helping in a plan which far exceeds its own protection and which needs its service for a little while. In this capacity is health assured. For everything the mind employs for this will, for this will function flawlessly and with the strength that has been given it and cannot fail. Paragraph 14. It is perhaps not easy to perceive that self-initiated plans are but defenses with the purpose all of them were made to realize. They are the means by which a frightened mind would undertake its own protection at the cost of truth. This is not difficult to realize. In some forms which these self-deceptions take, where the denial of reality is very obvious, yet planning is not often recognized as a defense. Being easy with myself, you know, kind to myself and kind to everyone else, and seeing the power and the presence of God that is within me and each and every one of us. That has been so helpful to me and so life-changing, is to see in the Christ in my brother. Paragraph 15. The mind engaged in planning for itself is occupied in setting up control of future happenings. It does not think that it will be provided for unless it makes its own provisions. Time becomes a future emphasis to be controlled by learning and experience obtained from past events and previous beliefs. It overlooks the present, for it rests on the idea the past has taught enough to let the mind direct its future course. You know, for me, through my life now, it's been always, I have been always taken care of by God Himself. In situations in my life that I thought I was never going to be able to come out of. And by God's grace, by His grace, I am delivered from all these and from my perception. And the strength, God's strength that is in me today, and it's always growing, is so, so powerful, and I am so grateful for it, that through these lessons and through the power and presence of God's grace, that I am shown that who is really in charge of my life, that who is really in charge of my life. And I am so grateful for His presence and His power in my life, that my perception is being changed, and I am seeing, you know, His grace in my life. And I say, thank you, Father. Paragraph 16. The mind that plans is thus refusing to allow for change. What it has learned before becomes the basis for its future goals. Its past experience directs its choice of what will happen, and it does not see that here and now is everything it needs to guarantee a future quite unlike the past. Quite unlike the past. Without a continuity of any old ideas and sick beliefs, anticipation plays no part at all, for present confidence directs the way. So staying in the present moment, in the now, in the holy instant, in that space, in that consciousness, in the light of Christ, in the light and love of our Father. This holy instant now is the only time there is. Thank you, Father. 17. Defenses are the plans you undertake to make against the truth. Their aim is to select what you approve and disregard what you consider incompatible with your beliefs of your reality. Yet what remains is meaningless indeed, for it is your reality that is the threat which your defenses would attack, obscure, and take apart and crucify. You know, God is in charge by my request. God is in charge by my request. And in this holy instant now. So paragraph 18. What could you not accept? What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, or gently planned by the One, capital O, whose only purpose is your good. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps you have misunderstood His plan, for He would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see His loving blessing shine in every step you ever took. While you made plans for death, He led you gently to eternal life. Amen. You know, I made plans, and God has other plans, and the plans are His life and His love in peace and joy. And God bless each and every one of you. And I'll drop the mic. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Christina, for that reading and the way the reading was done. If you were listening or maybe reading along, you must have picked up all the reasons why planning is another way of saying, I don't want to know the truth. I want to do it my way. I don't care about the pain. I really don't. You know, I don't know about the word truth. I know what I know, and I don't even know if there's a God. So, for me personally, I have seen the Course in Miracles actually just being a course about asking us to develop trust. You know, trust is another word for acceptance. What can you not accept? Why can't you trust if, as a matter of fact, you are the Holy Son of God Himself? Don't you think your Father is with you wherever you are? Do you really think you have to plan for yourself? You think that your planning means anything? In a way, this topic came up for me this week. Because, you know, something that Regina Dawn Akers said, about 6 or 8 months ago, and I did hear her say it at the time, and I totally agree with Regina that, you know, on Sunday mornings, we do have a minister of the morning who basically does have a topic which is already known in advance and sent out in a mailing, and a reader is selected. All in advance, and the reader is given something to read, or sometimes the reader just picks something that they would like to read that has something to do with the topic. That's fine. But the funniest thing is that that's a whole different way of being than if you just come to the microphone, like I come on Friday mornings with Suzanne, and we don't really know what we're going to say, and it's just, you know, we're just coming from our experience. And I know the same thing for Lynn Johnson and Louie. They just come to the, they don't have anything planned. There's no topic. And, you know, whatever comes up, you know, it's like spontaneous. It's in the moment. Nothing is planned. And, you know, I have found that, you know, as much as Sunday mornings, I just feel it's a privilege to be here on Sunday morning. I noticed that the 4 or 5 days of that week, of that particular week that I'm going to be here on Sunday morning, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe the topic should be this, or maybe the topic should be that. And, you know, and of course that's the most natural thing in the world to do, is to try and come up with something that's being helpful to others. You know, I'm always trying to be helpful to others. You know, what is it that I can say that's going to be helpful? Now, that's not really the same thing as total trust, as just coming to the microphone and saying, you know, I'm here only to be truly helpful. I don't have to know what to say or what to do. He who sent me will direct me. And exactly as Christina had just said, God, I put you in charge at my request. Holy Spirit, I put you in charge at my request. That is the final lesson. I put you in charge at my request. I am responsible for stepping back and letting you lead the way. Yeah. But of course, we do have topics, and, you know, maybe something will come out of this that possibly the format of Sunday mornings might change. I was actually speaking to Christina last night. We were kind of laughing about the whole thing. I said, I guess the total trust kind of thing would be that I don't come up with a topic and the reader, this week was Christina, would just come up with something that she wants to read and doesn't tell me what she's going to read, and just shows up on Sunday morning and reads whatever she wants to read, and we trust that every thought, every word is given to me, and everything will be shared in the moment. That I didn't plan anything, there was nothing I needed to do. I didn't have to look anything up. I didn't have to prepare. All that good stuff. I'm not saying that you know, preparing and planning is not something that you need to do. I was listening to Benny Silverman the other day. He said, hey, listen, if you're going to a conference or a retreat, you know, you have to, you know, make some reservations for airline tickets, or you got to find out how you're going to get there. So, yeah, there's certain things you do have to plan for. But when it comes to actually recognizing that I trust that God is always with me, and that every thought and every word is actually given to me, and isn't that pretty much what paragraph 18, the last paragraph that Christina read? What is it that you cannot accept? What can't you accept if you but knew that all events, all happenings, all circumstances are gently planned for you by one whose only purpose is your good? So there must be something about a thought that I have that I am doing this by myself, that, oh yeah, well, you know, I'll, in the good times, you know, well, I'll trust God, you know, after all, I have nothing to lose. But when things get really hairy and scary, well, you know, how do I know that my father is my father? How do I know God is God? How do I know that I'm not alone? How do I know? I better hold on to something. I better have a crutch. You know, I better plan for myself. Kind of reminds me, we all know that story about walking along the beach with God and, you know, this two sets of footprints, and then all of a sudden there's only one set of footprints. I said, you know, where were you, God, when I was going through that dark valley of death? He said, oh, I was carrying you. I was carrying you. I carried you right through it. Yeah, this irresistible force, this truth, this love from beyond this world, from beyond all things of form, is always here. Always. Yes. And of course, the one psalm that says this so clearly, of all the psalms that King David wrote from the book of Psalms, the 23rd psalm is beloved by everyone from all religions. And from the King James Version of the 23rd psalm, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, so those are the good times. He leads me to the still waters. I can take my shoes off. I can rest. I can put my feet in the water. I can actually enjoy. Yes, those are the good times. Thank you so much, God. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And here's the times that are not so good, and he's still here, all here in the same 23rd psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know if you heard me choking up a bit there. I was choking up a bit because those words are just so beautiful. Here it is in the beautiful light, when I'm being led where there are still waters and everything is beautiful and the light is shining. Yes, he's there with me, and yes, even in the darkness, in the valley of death, yes, there's nothing to fear. it takes a fearless spirit to live here in this mystery that we have made for ourselves. And there really is no way out of this place that I made for myself that I think is my home, unless I'm willing to trust, because of myself, I can really do nothing. You know, I only have this thought that I can plan to keep things in order so that I don't go to a, quote, a lower place. I gotta protect myself. I gotta defend myself. And notice the lesson 135 is called, if I defend myself, I'm attacking myself. Notice the sister lesson of 135 is 153. That's 35 reverse. 153, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. Do I really think that I could defend or protect most intricate plans? Everyone knows that joke. You want to make God laugh? Tell her your plans. She'll get a real good kick out of that. Yeah, there's only one plan. There's not two plans. Thy will be done. Our will is one. There's only one will. There's not two wills. You don't have to go to surrogate court for this one. Or probate court. Excuse me. Thank you, Barb, for the correction. Yeah, you have to go to probate for this one. No, there's no court. There's only the lower court where you think that you can choose by yourself, and then in the higher court, all of that is thrown out. It may be foolproof in the lower court. It's not God-proof in the higher court. So, you know, when you have lessons like, I am sustained by the love of God, lesson number 50, or I'm under no laws but God's, lesson number 76. Do you think that anything of God's laws has anything to do with planning for myself? The only reason anyone would plan for themselves is that there's a voice in their head that's telling them, if you don't do this, you're not going to look good. You want to look better than you are, right? You want to put your best foot forward, right? You don't want people to think that you're a schlep, right? Even though you're a schlep? I got that word schlep from one of Ken Wapnick's things. He says, yeah, if you think that Jesus was different from you in any way, you think that he wasn't a schlep? Yeah, actually, we're really all the same. It's just that the difference between Jesus and us is that he said, I and the Father are one. He didn't say, well, I got to do my own planning for me. Yeah, all the stories, basically, of the miracles that are happening, yeah. Miracles happen, but purification is necessary first. And the only thing that needs to be purified is the belief that I'm here alone, that I can do it by myself. Because of myself, I can do nothing. I was speaking this morning to Suzanne Kaiser and talking about Nuke Sanchez's first book, which he did with Tomas, Take Me to Truth. The whole book is based on the six steps of trust, which you find in Teacher's Manual, The Course in Miracles, Chapter 4, Section 1, Trust. It says, God gives his teachers certain characteristics because he knows he sends them into a world that they're going to need the strength to walk through the valleys of death that this world is without the light that the teachers bring. But the only thing that the teachers are actually responsible for is trust. And notice it takes six paragraphs or six steps in trust to tell you how each step progresses. You know, first there's the sorting out, the relinquishing, the giving up the things that you don't really need. Finally, it gets to step number five. You've already gone through four steps. Step number five, he actually says, this step can take a very long, long time. So, you know, even though the Course can, quote, teach you, quote, unquote, what special relationships are and holy relationships and, you know, what the ego's laws of chaos are and, you know, all those wonderful things that we like to remember in conceptual form, the one thing the Course cannot teach is trust. Because trust is really a willingness to let go. Let go of what? Of that voice in your head that says, you better start planning ahead or you ain't going to look good. That voice. You want to put your best foot forward, right? Now, as long as I'm doing that, I'm actually defending against the truth. That's exactly what the next lesson is, lesson 136. That's a sickness. Actually, let's use the word addiction. The sickness is never of the body. The sickness is always of the mind. It's an addiction to the idea that I'm doing this by myself and I have to plan for myself. That if I don't do this for myself, who's going to do it for me? Now, if you were listening to Christina, it's really a listening to a wisdom not of your own. Because if you keep listening to the thoughts that come up, well, do this and do that, and this is a wonderful place, go to this book, go to that book, there's a wonderful chapter here and a wonderful paragraph here, and I'll get so much from this, I'll get so much from that. As long as you keep looking outside of yourself, you can never really know yourself. Because who you are is as God created. You are before this world began, and you are when this world is over. And this world is really a conceptual world, coming from the thoughts that I have. Conflicting thoughts show me a conflicting world. The world I see is nothing more than an outside picture of an inner condition. And the way home, the only way home, is to come to those still waters, the stillness of the mind. But if my mind is so active, I'm always thinking about what's the next thing to do. I got to do this, and I only have so much time to do this. Then you're busying out the mind. The ego doesn't give a damn what you do. Doesn't care if you win or lose, if you're right or wrong. It only wants you to listen to it rather than to wisdom of another world. Now, this is the ego's world. It always has something for you to do. Just like every time you solve a problem, there's always two more problems. If you're addicted to the thoughts of the ego, they always say, well, everyone has a to-do list. This is my to-do list. You finish your to-do list. There's always more to do. Never any time to rest. We all know rest, accept, and trust. Rest, accept, and trust. Well, the trusting is the letting go of thinking I have anything to do. In chapter 18, section 7, which is called I Need Do Nothing, it says, you know, just before you enter this holy instant where you're going to be totally present, aware, all-inclusive, equal with God as one, you're going to have your last thought before you enter this holy instant is, I need do nothing. I need do nothing. He also says, that doesn't mean you can't have some judgments and thoughts before you enter the holy instant. No, just no judgments or thoughts that you would keep. So trusting is really a letting go, a surrendering. Now, we're all familiar with the V for victory sign. Well, victory in this world is really surrender. It's amazing in this world of duality that victory and surrender are really the same thing. It's like yin and yang and yoga and tantra. They seem to be going in opposite directions, but they're really the same thing. How can you ever know the whole, the totality, unless you let go and surrender and say, I do not know. I do not know what anything is for. Yeah. Of course, that was my mantra lesson, lesson 25, I do not know what anything is for. And that is pretty much total surrender. I do not know. Notice the first three words of that lesson 25, which should be pretty well known by everybody, at least of those who do the course. The first three words of lesson 25, I do not know, is purpose is meaning. Purpose is meaning. It's a three-word sentence. He doesn't want you to miss it. Because, you know, exactly as it said here, if I can find it again, I'll try and find it. Our purpose of awakening together is we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. You know, it's only in purpose that you can be joined. You can't be joined in A Course in Miracles or in Buddhism or in Judaism or in Christianity. Now, those are paths. The only thing we all have in common, because purpose is of mind, we are of one mind, of the mind of God, is purpose. Only those joined in purpose have a mind as one. So that's why purpose is meaning. And if your only purpose is to know the truth and to love the truth, because the truth will correct all the errors of your mind. Truth will correct all the errors of your mind. You must be willing to let go of anything else. And what is truth? People say, well, yeah, that's right, Dub. You know, what is truth? You know, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth, and, you know, I don't think they're the same truth. Well, the Course tells you truth is union. Truth is where we're all joined as one in purpose. Letting go of anything else that we ever think we need to plan for or to defend against. Because all defenses are simply a defense against the truth. Do I want the truth or do I want to live in a lie? You know, as Christina was reading the six paragraphs on a healed mind doesn't plan and gave you all the reasons why you don't want to plan, you know, something that Benny Silverman said the other day, you know, planning is simply trying to make your prison cell a little bit more attractive. I mean, you're really saying, well, I don't mind this prison cell when I'm serving a life sentence in solitary confinement, as long as it looks attractive. You know, I want to have the best looking prison cell in the joint. Yeah, I want my prison cell to be looking better. I don't care, I'm a prisoner. And Jesus said, you want to be hostage to the ego? You want to be a prisoner, a victim of this world? Oh yeah, you'll be the best looking, attractive victim that there is. Or, do you want to be the host to the love of God? Do you want to be the love that's eternal, to be sustained by what sustains you, to be what you are, to know thyself, to know the truth? Or do you want to keep padding your prison cell so it looks a little bit better. I came across something the other day, and it also pointed out to me the benefits of asking for guidance. And we all know that asking for guidance or wisdom from beyond this world is so valuable to us. And it came to me, the experience of why that is. I was sitting waiting for Suzanne. She was getting treatment at the hospital. I was sitting there, and I had my Course in Miracles book, and I said, Holy Spirit, I ask you for your guidance. You know, I'm going to open up this book wherever you have me open it up, and it opened up on page, my book, it was page 478, if I can find that. I tried this the other day, and it didn't even work, but here we go. So on page 478, it says weakness and defensiveness, and I noticed that if I was going to choose something that I was going to read, I would not have chosen this page 478, weakness and defensiveness, because I figured, what does that got to do with me, weakness and defensiveness? That's the ego saying, what does that got to do with me, weakness and defensiveness? But when you ask for guidance, you don't really have a choice. You ask for guidance, and you accept whatever the guidance is, and that's what weakness and defensiveness. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I'll read it. And this was the most powerful reading for me personally. Start to bottom, page 478, chapter 22, section 5, weakness and defensiveness. And it says, how does one overcome illusions? Surely not by force or anger, nor by opposing them in any way, merely by letting reason tell you that they contradict reality. They contradict reality. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It goes on from 478 to 479 and to the top of 480. And you want to take a look at that, whether you're in this book or another book, doesn't matter. Chapter 22, which is salvation and the holy relationship. This is section 5, weakness and defensiveness. It goes on to say something that when I was a kid, I remember this question. When I say I was a kid, I must have been about, I don't know, 10, 12 years old, 13, 14, I don't know. There was someone asked the question, what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? And I always thought that was a tantalizing question. I said, yeah, what does happen when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? Suzanne, who's my wife, says, they actually made a song about that. When an irresistible force meets an irresistible object. I guess we're talking about lovers who don't want to become lovers or something like that. But would you believe at the bottom of page 479 of my course, it actually, Jesus answers that question? Wow! I said, wait a minute. He's actually telling you what the irresistible force is, and he tells you what the so-called immovable body is. The immovable body is what we think we are, and the irresistible force is the irresistible force of truth. Let me read a couple lines for you. He says, how weak is fear? How little and how meaningless? How insignificant before the quiet strength of those whom love has joined? This is your enemy? A frightened mouse that could attack the universe? How likely is it that it will succeed? Can it be difficult to disregard its feeble squeaks that tell of its omnipotence and would drown out the hymn of praise to its creator that every heart throughout the universe forever sings as one? Which is the stronger? Is it this tiny mouse or everything that God created? You and your brother are not joined together by this mouse, but by the will of God. And can a mouse betray whom God has joined? If you but recognize how little stands between you and your awareness of your union with your brother. Be not deceived by the illusions it presents of size and thickness and weight and solidity and firmness of foundation. Yes, to the body's eyes it looks like an enormous solid body, immovable as in a mountain. Yet within you is a force, capital F, force that no illusions can resist. This body only seems to be immovable, and this force, with a capital F, is irresistible in truth. What then must happen when they come together? Can the illusion of immovability be long defended from what is quietly passed through and gone beyond? Yeah, the truth is always here. The truth has never left. This body, which I think I made and is myself, and I can defend myself, protect myself against the truth. How silly! Literally silly. The ego is silly. Final paragraph. Forget not when you feel the need arise to be defensive about anything that you have identified yourself with. Forget not when you feel the need arise to be defensive about anything you have identified yourself with an illusion. So whenever I need to plan, I'm identifying with nothing. Whenever I need to protect or come up with a smart answer when somebody attacks me, I'm identifying myself with a body. This immovable object. It says, this is the cost, and therefore you will feel that you're weak because you are alone. This is the cost of all illusions. The cost of all illusions is to think that you're separate, apart, and alone. And that's the source of all guilt. I was listening to Louis and Lynn this morning. You know, what is guilt? Supposedly, the whole course is to remove the guilt. Why am I feeling guilty? Because I'm feeling alone, separate, apart, abandoned. Where's God? Where's the mercy of God? I can't trust what I can't see. Not one but rests on the belief that you are separate. Not one illusion rests on the belief. Not one but rests on the belief that you are separate. Not one that does not seem to stand heavy and solid and immovable between you and your brother. And not one that truth cannot pass over lightly and so easily that you must be convinced, in spite of what you thought it was, that it is nothing. And here's where forgiveness comes in. If you forgive your brother, this must happen. If you forgive your brother, this must happen, for it is your unwillingness to overlook what seems to stand between you and your brother that makes it look impenetrable and defends the illusion of its immovability. I'm going to end with this final thing, which was given to me this week by Holy Spirit. You know, we all love Albert Einstein, who gave us E equals MC squared, and I'm not asking anyone to say, well, I'm not really that good at math or science, but just to hear what was given to me about E equals MC squared. I was listening to Wayne Dyer talking about the energy that passes through us. It's either passing through at 10,000 cycles per second, or if we shift our mind, if we shift the way we see things, it's moving through at 100,000 cycles per second. One is slowing us way down by gravity, by mass. So that's why the formula E, which stands for energy, equals mass, gravity, the weight of your body, times the speed of light in centimeters squared. Now, what Einstein understood is that when you diminish the M value, which is the body, to just about nothing, like a mouse, the speed of light increases exponentially. He says, what would be happening if I was traveling through the universe at the speed of light? And of course, that's only the speed of light. This is the speed of light squared. Isn't that just about at infinity? It goes beyond anything of this world. It knows nothing of this world. It's the love of God from beyond this world. And the truth will set you free. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, Jesus, awakening together. Thank you all. I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Lynn. This is a good opportunity if you would like to make a donation to Awakening Together. This is the opportunity to do that. Barb will put the link up. And if you're listening on the radio, you can go to awakening-together.org, and you'll see on the menu bar at the top on the right side, donations. So thank you so much. I'll be back in a few minutes. Anyone has any questions? Of course, we have a full hour ahead. Anyone feel inspired, please do share. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn, for a few minutes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much, Lynn, for that music. And we have some open time here. The topic today, of course, was trust or plan to fail. And it's based on the idea, not only if you're planning, you're listening to the ego, but this coming to this world, the only purpose for this world is for healing. As it says in the Course, the Holy Spirit's only purpose for this world of time and space is for the healing of the mind of God's Son. And the only way the healing could ever take place is to trust that I am the Holy Son of God, and I am as my Father created me. And nowhere does it say the Father ends and the Son begins, that we are one, that we are equal, that we are the same. That's where the healing is. There's no way back into the kingdom unless I have the peace of God. And to say these words is one thing, but to mean it is totally different, and it takes one condition for the peace of God, and that's equality, that I am the whole, equal, complete Son of God now. I've always been. I need never plan for myself. I don't have to take care of myself. I am oneself, that there's nothing outside of our oneself. I don't have to look good for anyone. There is nothing outside of the oneself. Nothing opposes the oneself. I have no enemies. There's nothing to attack, nothing to defend. Love, which is all-encompassing, has no opposite. So if anyone is so inspired, anything at all, please use this as an opportunity. We have a whole hour of fellowship ahead, so I'm going to turn this mic over to Regina. Regina, this mic is all yours.
Thank you, Dov. Thank you again for a wonderful service. You know, it's interesting because you talked a little bit about how the planning mind sometimes gets involved when there's a weekly gathering coming. And I don't know that, I'm sure that probably does happen or you would not have told us that, but it's hard for me to believe that everything that you just shared was planned. It sounds to me, it sounded very spontaneous, highly inspired. I felt inspired by it. I feel the buzz of inspiration all over me right now. So, I don't know. It sounds to me like the non-planning happened in spite of the mind that wanted to plan. I also wanted to say that right now in the Awakening Together management arena, we're in the part time of year when we do performance reviews. And one of the reasons that we do performance reviews is because the organization is set up to make sure that the people who are in the positions of really leading, I guess you would call it, to make sure that they're doing that leadership according to our purpose and core values, and that they're not, you know, running on their egos, you know, and doing things in a different way. So we do performance reviews every year as a check for the board of directors. And the three positions that get performance reviews are the vice president minister, which is Jacqueline Eckert, the sanctuary director, which is Lynn Johnson, and then the president minister, which is me. And the person who reviews me is Phil Frisk, who is our chairman minister. And one of the questions he asked me as a part of my performance review is something about, am I getting burnt out, or is there any risk of me getting burnt out? And, you know, I do a lot of things. I mean, the only way for someone to know how much I do would be literally just to shadow me, because I couldn't even turn around and tell someone else how much I do. You know, I would forget things. It's not even possible. So, and I work from, you know, early in the morning until late at night, 5 days a week, and then I do a half a day's work on a 6 day a week. I take 1 day a week off, typically, which is Saturdays, and occasionally I even work Saturdays when needed. But I do a lot of work. And you know, when I was asked about the burnout, the thought of burnout had never even occurred to me. And I thought, you know, I work a lot, and I'm not at all burnt out. Why is that? And an answer didn't even occur when I asked, why is that? I didn't even have an answer. But the answer came today when you were speaking, Dove, and the answer is because I only act on inspiration. Even if there's something that, you know, I know needs to be done, I leave it undone. I leave it on a list of things that needs to be done. I leave it undone until the inspiration comes and says, do it now. And when the inspiration comes and says, do it now, the inspiration then gives me everything that needs to happen to get it done. All of the ideas come flying in that moment. I didn't need to think about them in advance. If I have to type emails as a part of it, all the words that need to be said in the emails start coming. Just everything happens. And so it's not my effort. You know, even though, you know, again, if you were to watch the body appears to be doing a lot of things. And not only do I appear to organize myself, but I appear to organize others. I prompt others, reminding them of things that they are to do. And it really looks like I'm carrying a lot of stuff in my head and I'm always thinking about stuff, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm acting on inspiration. The inspiration is doing all of that. And that's why there's no burnout. If I was acting on my own power, trying to control it in that way, trying to keep everything together, I'm sure I would get very, very, very burnt out. In fact, what occurred to me as you were speaking, and again, even this is inspiration because none of this occurred to me until you were speaking. It came through the inspiration of your talk. But what occurred to me as you were speaking is if we are getting burnt out, you know, in our jobs or in our family roles or anything else, if we are getting burnout, it's probably because we aren't running on inspiration. We are running on our own little power, or at least we think we are. And so burnout would be a wonderful symbol that we need to step back and look at, am I trying to plan? Am I trying to control? Am I trying to get things to go my way and release all of that? I did interview someone Friday night for a future Awakening Together satsang, and he is a devotee of Amma's, and he spoke of Amma in this way. He talked about how she will go sometimes 23 hours with only 1 hour's sleep. And in fact, he says she can go like 12 to 18 hours without even a bathroom break. And he says the people that are there shadowing that body and watching how much that body does is amazed, you know, because he called her superhuman. Well, of course, she's plugged in to that superhuman energy, and she's only acting on inspiration. She's not acting on the little self. And so although she appears to do much, 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 much more than what the average being could ever do, it's because she's not coming from the little self. She's coming from inspiration. So thank you very much, Dove, for the reminder about the not planning, about the not acting on the little self. And again, living on inspiration, waiting for the prompts, then everything is given, and it's a wonderful way to live. So thank you. Bye, everyone.
Okay, Dove, if you wanted the mic, I would definitely give that to you now. Thank you, Regina, for that. This is the way I am, too, and I know that people do shadow me. there are people who come on here all day and all night and are always really surprised to see that I'm here and I'm contributing and I'm talking and I'm listening. And, you know, when I'm not doing those things, I'm, you know, looking at, you know, YouTube videos or looking for things that are inspiring to bring to the room. And, you know, this is the most, this is the most fun job I've ever had in my life. The most inspired job I've ever had in my life. And I, honest to God, you know, it's every day I just am waking up just charged up with excitement and joy because I know amazing things are going to happen and miracles are happening all day, every day. So, yeah, and you're right, Regina. Whenever I feel like, oh, there's something I have to do and, you know, I go and try to do it at that time, not only do I have difficulty because I'm trying, I also have difficulty because things happen, like, you know, my internet goes down or you know, I can't log on to a certain website or, you know, I can't get into my email or all kinds of things. It's like the, you know, spirit is really in charge of me and spirit is really in charge of my life and what happens to me all day, every day. And, you know, whenever I start even thinking about some future thing, you know, spirit just tells me right away, you know, you're not there. Don't, you know, you're not there. When the time comes, you'll get what you need. And it's true. I can, and that's what makes work hard. It makes work hard when you're trying to do and you're judging what you're doing, which you really are judging. You're saying, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I wish I didn't have to. Oh, I wish I could be eating ice cream. I could be doing something else. You know, those are all resistance. And they're resistant to what? To me trying to be in charge. So, you know, Dove's topic was perfect this morning. You know, about the performance reviews, please everybody send Regina a letter and tell her how great I'm doing. Just kidding. because Regina doesn't need a letter from anyone to tell me how great I'm doing. It's evident. It's evident, and if you spend any time here, you see it's, you know, and it's not because I'm doing a great job. It's because, you know, I'm just letting the Holy Spirit be in charge of everything. And Spirit knows how to do its business. You know, Spirit knows what to tell me and Lewis when we're talking. You know, Spirit knows what music to play. Spirit knows all of it. So, you know, why would I think I should be in charge? That's ridiculous. You know, all I can do is be in gratitude. And I am in deep, deep gratitude for this room. I'm in deep, deep gratitude to Dove for, you know, and all the people that came before us. And I am in deep, deep gratitude for Regina for being my partner in this. I'm deep, deep gratitude that the Holy Spirit has given me everything I need, and I am being carried down a path on a summer day. Believe it, it happens. It can happen to you, and it will happen. There's no doubt about it. It will happen. And it just comes to the point of, you know, who's in charge? You know, if I, you know, this holy instant I give to you, be you in charge. I take that lesson very seriously, and it does work. So anyway, thank you, Dove. Thank you, Regina. And I'm letting go of the mic.
Thank you so much, Lynn and Regina. Lynn is without a doubt the perfect person to be here as the host of Awakening Together. She personifies everything that Awakening Together is for. But not only that, exactly as she just said, she gets all this energy and guidance really from above. No one could be filled with this high energy. By the way, that CD I was talking about from Wayne Dyer is called There Is a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem. That's the title of the CD. It was sent to me by Regis Reeves. He was playing one of the 6 hours CDs, the six CDs that goes for 6 hours on a Saturday night here. And I said, Regis, wow, I'd like to have that. And he sent me the entire thing. And, you know, if we have a chance, maybe we'll play it here sometime. But in it, that's what when he talks about there's a spiritual solution to every problem. The spiritual solution is to get out of our own way, to get out of the weight and the mass of 10,000 cycles per second and ramp up to 100,000 cycles per second by getting out of our own way. That's where the light is. That's where the energy is. You know, that's where wisdom is. That's where wisdom from beyond the ego's thought process. So, again, when you ask me, was this kind of not planned? Yeah, what I did today happened after Friday when I realized that I spent 3-4 days a week thinking of what the topic is going to be, and I realized that that's really such a lousy way to spend the week trying to figure out what the topic is going to be. When, as a matter of fact, in the spontaneity of the moment, whatever it is, because it's given to you. You don't have to know. But I totally agree with you when you say it all comes once the inspiration is given to you, it's all given to you. I call it synchronicity, that the moment Spirit gives you something, everything that you need for it is given to you. Everything just piles right on. I guess If I am into any burnout, it's trying to rearrange all the piles to do it in 30 minutes. And that's about it. But I am aware that I'm addicted to, I think I'll put it up here again. I'm aware of my addiction to planning what I'm going to say, and it is an addiction, and I think I'm not the only one that has the addiction. And I think that trust is nothing more than letting go of that addiction. The moment I'm aware that I'm planning, I said, what am I doing this for? Who am I planning against? What am I planning for? You know, as soon as I come up to it, as soon as I'm aware that I'm doing this to myself, I said, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm doing the same old thing again. You got to laugh. You really got to laugh. Back to you, Lynn. Thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mystery Bay.